No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
For one final time before the month of October, I say good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets' season-ending loss to the Colorado Avalanche, a regular season that was so good and a playoffs that started so promising ends in utter disappointment for a second consecutive season. The Winnipeg Jets bow out in five games in the first round. No joy in Mudville, as the old saying goes. The Jets, wild game for tonight's contest, were not able to overcome the mountain that is the Colorado Avalanche. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Gentlemen, good to see you both yet again on this Tuesday night, the final night of the 23-24 season for the Winnipeg Jets. And it's hard to believe that that's the fact, and that's the case, that five games is all it took for the Colorado Avalanche to dispatch this Winnipeg Jets team. And I watched tonight's game, and the score to me is more one-sided than the play truly was. And I can't help but think, what if? What if the Jets had played this game for the first four games rather than only in game five? What if Cole Perfetti had been a regular in the lineup? What if Colin Miller had been in the lineup? That to me is the big lingering question as this playoff series comes to an end. What if things had been different, coaching decisions had been different? Because I do believe that's where a lot of the spotlight will be focused when you do the postmortem of this playoff series.
Absolutely. It just doesn't make sense, guys, why Rick Bowness would go back to the pre-game five lines when the lines were clicking so well, especially in that second period when the Jets had, what, 19 shots on net, and yeah, they were really controlling the flow of play, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nick Ehlers finally gets up to the top line, and obviously, you know, he had a beautiful pass on Tyler Toffoli's goal. We're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we'll break that goal down. But, you know, I thought Ehlers was excellent tonight. And Cole Perfetti, Dave, was really good on that second line with Kyle Connor and Monahan, right? Like, in small sample sizes, we've seen Kyle Connor and Cole Perfetti play really well together. The reason why I'm not throwing Monahan in there is because before Monahan, Connor and Perfetti had played together on that second line, right? So it's really baffling why Rick Bowness did that. Because even though you can't necessarily directly say that that was why the Jets lost this game, it certainly kind of took the flow out of their play, right? And, you know, look, Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon took over. Mm-hmm. But on the fifth goal, like, you know, Josh Morrissey, Nathan MacKinnon steals the puck, and MacKinnon blows by Nino Niederreiter, right? And it's a two-on-one, MacKinnon and Rantanen, and Dylan DeMello doesn't have much of a chance, and neither did Connor Hellebuck. So it's just perplexing why Rick Bowness did that, considering the Jets were playing so well at 5-on-5, especially the Scheifele line. I thought that was the best, probably the best game of the series for the Scheifele, Vilardi, Ehlers line. Obviously, Ehlers was on the second line for the most of the series, but I'm talking about the Scheifele line, the top line. So it's really confusing. And yeah, I mean, Toffoli ties the game up, but it seemed like every time in this game, Dave, that the Jets tied the game up, the Avalanche scored shortly after. And look, every single game in this series, the Avalanche scored five or more goals. I think they scored,
which, by the way, NHL record. First time, right, that's happened in the NHL, right, playoff history.
And it just doesn't make any sense. History, guys. History was made by the Colorado Avalanche with how many goals they scored. And considering, Dave, that the Jets won the Jennings Trophy and Hellebuck is going to win the Vezina Trophy, I just don't think anybody saw this coming in this series.
You know, I've noticed this now a few times, but it was like, I'm watching the Jets are down by two goals, and I tweeted this out, but I think I put it up.
I put the comment up on the screen there.
Yeah. Thank you, Seattle Ryan, for following. But, you know, I, for the folks who are listening on the podcast or who are watching the show, maybe Drew could pull out a second screen and put up my tweet. Wouldn't that be a hosty of you there, Drew? But I mean, I think it's a good illustration. Oh, Drew's muted. Best. But I think it's a good illustration to me of the difference in this coaching. And look, it could be different coaching philosophies, but I mean, to me, you're watching this game and you're down by two and the Jets bench is casual. They're just sitting there. They're catching their breath. They're not focused, but you look over at Jared Bednar, he's got the whole team around him and they're all talking about the play. And so you're watching this and you're thinking to yourself, well, like, which team is chasing the game here, Ezzy? And it's not the first time I've seen this in the playoffs, and it's not the first time I've kind of took note of it, but I just don't, to me, it's not a good reflection, right? You can see that. Boy, that's a good tweet. Whoever tweeted that was sure insightful, right, boys? So it just goes to show you, right? Like, look at the ads, look at the way they are at the bench. You know, if you click on the picture there, Grandpa Drew, it might enlarge it for you. But anyways, so there you go. Attaboy, Drew. But the point is that I got to zoom up, not down.
I was trying to zoom up. It didn't work. It doesn't matter. It's going backwards.
Drew, restart your computer. Control, Alt, Delete.
Anyways, the point, you can see it now in the chat. And look at the difference in the benches. Right? To me, one is very engaged. And even when the Jets called their timeout, I think three guys were listening to Brad Lauer try and, plan game plan for their 6-on-5. And again, the Avs bench was engaged. So that was a pretty damning, I thought, visual. And I mean, I think it's a testament to the somewhat strange coaching decisions and that were, you know, made. And I'm with Ezzy. Like, I don't understand why you finally get the lines going. And, you know, even in his media availability this morning, Rick Bowen has made some comment about, if we need to, we can just flip the wingers back. If we're not liking it, we'll flip the wingers back. Well, quite frankly,
he liking it, Dave? That's what I mean. Nobody, yeah. like nobody watching that game would have thought Bones was going to do that. That's why it made no sense. They were playing well.
The first 40 minutes were the best 40 minutes the Jets played in the series, I think. I mean, this was the closest, you know, competitive nature of the game in terms of the flow, in terms of the pace, yep, in terms of just the back and forth of it. This was
the Jets were winning the special teams battle.
Yeah, this was as close as you wanted the Jets to look through the first 40 minutes. I mean, you really, you know, sure, the score after 40 minutes was still 3-2 for Colorado, but I don't think anybody would say that Colorado was as badly outplaying the Jets through 40 minutes like they had in games 2, 3, and 4.
Nope.
The Jets were skating with them. The Jets were, you know, relatively close to even with them, except on the scoreboard. But to me, it was just another in a perplexing series of decisions. The decision to call up Axel Janssen Fialbi from the Moose and drop him into the lineup as if he's going to be the panacea for what ails you in game 4. The decision, the being too late to put Cole Perfetti and Colin Miller into the lineup, because both of those players were clearly impactful in the first 40 minutes of tonight's game until Perfetti was told to sit on the bench for whatever reason and get minimal ice time, you know, if any, during the third period. It was just questionable decision after questionable decision that I just don't quite understand the logic that went into the decision making that was made. Dave, you're on mute.
Darn, I was so focused on the chat because there's a comment by Snacktobia. I think I'm saying the name right, and now I've lost it, but it was a good one. I'm going to put it up now. Yorgiev also looked shaky for the first 40 minutes.
Yeah,
that's because he was. Like, I understand the Jets, you know, had, I don't know what they finished at, but like, they had a ton of shots. They had over 30 shots in the game.
36 in the game.
Sure. But I mean, like, I'm watching this and thinking to myself, like, this guy does, he's not tracking the puck. He's got no clue where the rebounds are.
Yeah.
You just got to test him.
Look how he played the Toffoli goal. Go back and watch how Alexander Georgiev.
I don't need to watch the highlight of it. I saw it live and in person. I know. I did watch the replay, Drew, but I can tell you right now, like, it was not a good goal. I looked, I was like, oh, maybe he got screened. There's nobody around him. Like, it's a good shot by Toffoli, but it should be saved by an NHL goaltender. So that, again, it's another damning thing on the Jets, because I think you had a goaltender who was you know, ready to kind of regress back to what he's been for the last month or so. And the Jets, I just didn't think they, you know, and credit the Avalanche too. They didn't want to let the Jets have, you know, get to the middle and get to the soft spots and really try and create for themselves. But it's just another thing they didn't take advantage of, right? As they did, they could have exploited it and they chose not. Well, not that they chose not to, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the fact that there's so many people talking about how well Colin Miller was playing just kind of shows you that, you know, Rick Bowness was not making the right lineup decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it on the pregame show. Like, Logan Stanley makes a nice outlet pass to Mason Appleton, which leads to the goal by Nate Schmidt, right? It's a nice pass. Appleton finds Schmidt. Nice shot by Schmidt. And then you guys remember the offside review, which was definitely not very, conclusive, to say the least. I mean, it looked like it might have been offside, but then they upheld the original call, right? But, I mean, Miller was good, and I think he did exactly what you expect him to do, right? Just plays a smart, responsible game. He can move the puck. He's a good skater. Just a veteran out there, right? And in terms of Cole Perfetti, yeah, he doesn't get a goal. He doesn't pick up any points.
But he had jump. But
he was driving the net. I remember at least a couple of shots that he had in the first two periods.
A minute and 34 of ice time in the third period for Cole Perfetti. Right.
And it makes Drew, it would be one thing. Like, okay, you would say, you know, game score, if the Jets are trailing, you know, he's going to play less if he's on the fourth line. But he was on the second line, and he was playing well on the second line. And so that's the thing. Not only was Rick Bowness putting the wrong players in, i.e. Janssen Fjällby over Gustafsson, there's nothing wrong with Gus Buss's game. He was playing well. Mm-hmm. He was playing fine on the fourth line. And you guys know how much I like Axel Janssen Fjällby. But then you say that Janssen Fjällby's coming in to play on the penalty kill, but then you don't play him on the penalty kill, and it's because you didn't have enough penalty-killing time to give him, is kind of what Rick Bowness said, right, Dave? So, I mean, again, you know, the Jets were outplayed by the Avalanche, simply put. I mean, we've talked about it. The Jets' defense just didn't have an answer for the team defense, I should say, did not have an answer for the Avalanche offense. The Jets just didn't make the necessary adjustments. And you saw, you know, for a good chunk of this game, it was pretty low scoring, right? 3-2 after a couple periods, nothing wrong with that. And then, you know, the Avalanche get three goals in the third, obviously one empty netter. But the point being that, you know, Rantanen, McKinnon, Nichushkin, Lehkonen, like Nichushkin and Lehkonen, Dave, had a point in every single game in this series. And obviously there were only five games, but
Lehkonen scored two goals tonight, one on his own team and one for against the
Jets. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, and we'll get into the Pion goal. I don't think booing Dave, Drew and I talked about this before we went live. I don't like the booing of Pionk.
Look, Neil
that's not cool.
Neil Pionk, again, was Neil Pionk what he's been all season long. I mean,
he doesn't deserve to be booed, though, Drew.
I agree. He doesn't deserve to be booed. I would agree with that. I didn't like that myself. Look, you want to boo Neil Pionk for some of his performance this season, you know, or some of the miscues this season, that's fine. Don't boo Neil Pionk because of the Lehkonen goal. I mean, that is just such fluky, you know, that's just such a fluke that, you know, I just don't feel as though booing him in that instance is appropriate. Now, fans.
Well, it also went off Scheifele's skate. Sorry to interrupt you, but it goes Lehkonen's.
It's just
pass
terrible.
Went off of Scheifele's skate, right?
If you want to boo him for the Trennan goal where he gets his pocket picked and then Trennan walks out front and deposits it past Hellebuyck. You want to boo him for that? Fine. You want to boo him for the miscues throughout the year? Fine. But not off the Lehkonen one. That is just, you know, it's like, you know, to me, that was just a little bit. It's just such bad luck for a guy who's had nothing but sort of a gray cloud following him around. So I don't have a lot of time for that kind of criticism.
Well, Drew, the only thing I'll say is that people can.
Of course, they can do what they want.
No, but not only that, I don't care if they boo one way or the other. But I mean, they're also, they want to pillory a guy for not playing well, then they're entitled to. And
yeah,
again, we're not on the show to fluff pillows. We're on the show because we try and give people an honest assessment as to what we witnessed in a series. So
I mean,
Neil Pionk was not good in this series. He wasn't good this season.
He wasn't good
and
this season.
It showed.
Yeah, I have no problem. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with booing him, you know, for the body of work that he performed this year. Totally on board with that. But don't point to that one fluke play as the reason why you're now going to start doing so. I mean, I look, the Trennan goal is way more egregious to me. The Trennan goal, when it's a 1-1 game after the, you know, at that point in time, and he just get, you just whiff on it. You get your pocket picked and then you just whiff completely. That's way more of an egregious defensive mistake. You know, in my mind, than the Lekkonen one, which is just an absolute freak fluke
bad luck
play.
Bad luck fluke. You're absolutely right, and you're also right on the Trennan goal, and Yakov Trennan. Dave knows he was a Milwaukee Admiral. He was a good Nashville Predator, like a good bottom six guy. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Duhaime again. Look, Andrew Cogliano. He was there for the 2022 Cup. Like, this is a good Avalanche team. I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, I think if the Avalanche have Casey Mittelstadt all year long instead of Ryan Johansson, they probably get to 115, 116 points. They might win the President's Trophy. Like, this is a team that could win the Stanley Cup this year. I'm not going to get way ahead of ourselves here because they obviously have to play the winner of the Dallas-Vegas series. But especially if Georgiev is playing the way he is now, he's going to give them a chance to win every night. And again, I agree that he was a little bit shaky. But, you know, for the most part, he was pretty solid in this series, right? So the Avalanche are a good team. And, were there, you know, mistakes that were made? And did the Jets really shoot themselves in the foot with all those penalties in games 3 and 4? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Avalanche have game breakers. They have two guys with over 100 points. MacKinnon with 140, Rantanen with 102. Makar is one of the best defensemen in the league, and those guys outplayed the Jets' three best players. If you want to call those three best players Connor, Morrissey, and Scheifele, or whoever you want to pick, it really wasn't even close, to be honest with you. Those guys were head and shoulders above the rest of the players.
Jets head coach Rick Bowness is soon to be at the dais at the media podium. We will bring him to you live here on the Illegal Curve post-game show as we break down the Avs 6-3 victory over the Winnipeg Jets, ending the Jets season after a mere 5 playoff games, something I don't think any of us saw coming, especially after the Jets won game one in that wild game one. I guess that would be, 10 days ago or so. So as soon as Rick Bowness is at the podium, we're going to bring him to you live here on the Illegal Curve post game show.
But Drew, isn't that poetic? Isn't that, as he said, the Avs can win the Stanley Cup? I'm pretty sure to win a Stanley Cup, you have to go through Winnipeg, right? St. Louis went through Winnipeg. Vegas went through Winnipeg. So I think it's just become, and Montreal didn't win a Stanley Cup, but they went through Winnipeg to make the Stanley Cup bubble. So, you know, teams, maybe it's a badge of honor to get through Winnipeg, and they're going to be happy. They'll want that Vegas and Dallas series to go long so they can get some rest. But look, I'll be honest with you. I didn't foresee this outcome. I thought the Jets would win tonight's game. I really did. But, you know, a lot of self-inflicted mistakes that cost them the game. They couldn't, you know, they get a little momentum. They tie up the game. The fans are excited. And then 2 minutes later, you know, they're down 4-3. And that, to me, is somewhat of the story of this hockey game. And there's a lot of storylines. And we'll be digesting this, and I understand it's fresh for everybody, and I understand people are frustrated. And I think that, you know, the key for us on the show is we don't tell you how to be fans. You can, you know, obviously respectfully be fans however you want to be. But I think it's just, there's a lot, it's very fresh, obviously, right now. We'll have it covered in its entirety, throughout the course of the next few days. And of course, on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, because this, after 87, is our final Illegal Curve post-game show. Although, Drew, it's not even 87 because we did 3 pre-game shows, right? So technically we got to 90 of our Jets-related content.
That's right. Aside from the Saturday show, we did 90 shows between the post-game shows and the pre-game shows this year, which is definitely a new record number for us here on the Illegal Curve hockey show and the Illegal Curve hockey team. So thank you, everybody, for your support all season long. Again, Rick Bowness about to be at the podium.
And you get through. Dude, don't forget, we do what this is now.
Here is, here's the Jets head coach.
Guys, please keep it to one question for the start, the person, and then we can see where we are after some time. Use the microphone, please. Yeah.
Rick, what played into you guys changing the lines up front after the second period?
We were doing okay. just again trying to generate some offense. Some guys, you could tell some guys were a little bit on, and some players a little bit off. So we switched. I switched them up.
Rick, the team said that it felt like it got to its game today. I know it doesn't get the result it's looking for, but is there a sense of pride in the fact that your team goes out at least fighting like that, or is some of that taken away from the fact they admittedly say it took too long for them to get to their game in this series?
It took long, but listen, in the 2 years, that's by far the best playoff game we've played. It didn't go our way tonight. A couple of goals went in off of us. We had some chances we didn't score. Where was that in the first four games? That's a question we're going to have to answer ourselves over the course of the summer. But we're way ahead of where we were at this point last year when we lost. Way ahead. The team made a lot of great strides during the course of the season. We had a great regular season. We did fourth in the league. Is there a lot to learn from this series when you compare tonight to the previous four? Absolutely. You know, when you lose game three and four, you're because of the penalty kill. So we gotta grow from there. But tonight, listen, I'm proud of the effort of the guys. They fought right till the end. It just didn't go our way tonight. But there's growth. We had a great regular season, and again, learn from tonight.
Rick, I was there in Vegas last year during the pushback press conference, and this is such a world different from that. You guys played
100%. I'm very proud of the guys tonight. Very proud.
Yeah, it feels different. It feels different amongst them as well. Josh Morrissey just spoke to the idea that, hey, I hope this stings. I hope that this stings all of us for the summer and that we learn from it, use it as a growth opportunity. Is that kind of, you've also sort of echoed it, is that the collective message that
yes,
everybody needs?
There's no moral victories. There's growth. You got to grow. And we took a lot of strides as a group this year. We grew a lot. We did. That's why we were 110 points and led the league in goals against. Now, is there still room for growth? Absolutely. It's obvious when you compare tonight to the previous four that, okay, this is what the playoffs are. Now, why it took to the fifth game to get there, we'll have to answer those questions. But we will, and we'll grow from it. We grew a lot over this because you compare this team to last year. There's very little comparison. This team is much better, much tighter, and we made a lot of huge strides. We did. It didn't show itself for the first four games. I know that. I get that. So that's something we all have to live with. That's something we have to answer to. Again, it's growth, and we'll take it from there.
Rick, what are the primary reasons why you couldn't get to the defensive game that you did play so well during the regular season?
First of all, I give them a lot of credit, man. They played great. There is no comparison to what we saw in the regular. Their intensity and their speed went way up in the playoffs from what we saw, and we knew that. So that was the biggest difference during the regular season to this right now is their pace and their intensity at which they played with. They've won a Stanley Cup, and it showed itself this series. It did. They raised their battle level more than anything. They raised their battle level. The races, battles. The playoffs, that's what it's going to come down to. Who's willing to go to the net harder and who's willing to take a hit to make a play? Who's willing to win battles in the corners and the boards? That's what it comes down to. Then the other things take into place. But that's the best they've played. And give them credit for that.
Rick, I know it's fresh and you went through a lot this year personally and also with the team. Just wondering if it's completely up to you, is your intention to remain here in Winnipeg and keep coaching this team?
We just lost in the playoffs. We'll figure that out.
What makes the difference at this time of year?
For what? For the team?
Yep.
It's the intensity. It is. It really is. The playoff intensity goes way up, and you can talk about it all you want. The teams that have won know how to get there. They got there tonight. They flipped this series. They flipped a switch. I watched their last game against Vegas, and after we had beaten them 7-0, they took their game way up against Vegas. So I saw there's a different team. That was during the regular season. So again, it's you get to this stage. You know, at the end of a playoff series, if you're not putting an ice bag all on yourself, you're not playing hard enough. Simple as that.
Just wonder, Rick, after a playoff series like this where your team looked quite a bit different than it did during the regular season, we often hear players talk about, you know, looking for answers. As a coaching staff, do you guys look for answers? Is there anything in hindsight, or maybe it's too early to say, anything you would have done differently in this series, whether it's personnel or systemic?
Yeah, for sure. We lost. We didn't win. So hindsight's 20/20. That's the one thing about it. But you do learn. Okay, you have to look back. Okay, that didn't work. That was a mistake. You have to be honest with yourself, which we will be very honest with ourselves as a staff about what we did right and what we did wrong and what we have to do better. We will be very, very honest about that. We always are.
Rick, how do you ensure that learning from those lessons means taking your game to the next level?
Well, you go into next season, and you bring this up. Like last year, we went into camp and we brought up how we looked at the end of the year. You go into training camp, and you say that's how it's got to look starting again. From the playoff experience, and you hope it grows. Listen, this is a proud group, and it's a tight group, and they're hurt. They're hurting right now, but that's not a bad thing. They should hurt. Last year there's a different hurt. We didn't battle, right? Tonight we battled, so there's a different hurt. But you still have to learn that you still have to take that game to another level. You do. Playoffs are a whole different animal, man. And if you can't raise your game to that intensity, you don't win the Stanley Cup. You know how hard it is to get there? I've been there four times. You know how hard it is to get there? It's hard. And your players are beat up when you get there. So,
how do you know this group of players can even do that?
Well, those are questions we have to answer over the course of the summer. Thank you all. It's been a pleasure.
There he goes, the Jets head coach Rick Bowness leaving the podium after the post-game media conference following the Jets 6-3 loss to the Colorado Avalanche, ending their series and ending their season after five games. Your thoughts on what Rick Bowness had to say there tonight, guys? I mean, sidestepped the question about his future, saying it's not the time really to discuss it, which I'm not surprised about. If I recall correctly, there's an option. Yeah. Team option in store for next year. Time will tell if the Jets exercise that or not.
That sounds like a Saturday morning topic, Drew.
It certainly will be. It won't be a topic for tonight. On Saturday morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, you know we will do a deep post-mortem on this Winnipeg Jets team, this Winnipeg Jets season, where the team goes from here, what the roster is going to look like moving forward. That'll all be on Saturday morning, and that'll be something we talk about for the next number of months as the Winnipeg Jets. Obviously disappointed with the result. When they went out at, before the trade deadline, and at the trade deadline and acquired Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller, they thought that they were in store for a longer playoff run than the five games, three home games that they had tonight. So you can understand the disappointment in the voice of Rick Bowness and understand the disappointment in the comments that Josh Morrissey had to the media before Rick Bowness spoke. The question is now, where does this Winnipeg Jets team go from here? And how does the Jets, how do they build off of this? How do they grow from this defeat? And the decisions that were made tonight, are something that are going to still be talked about for the next few days, because we said it earlier, Jared Bednar outcoached Rick Bowness, and I think he did so again tonight. Rick Bowness, I thought, was just too cute by half with some of those decisions, particularly in the third period, Ezzy.
Yeah, and I think when you look, going back to what you said before, Drew, asking about, how they learn from this. I mean, first off, we don't know what the team is going to look like next year, right? Like, people are already starting to say rebuild. Like, I think we know, guys, the marketing slogan for this team is we're all in. So I don't think that it's time for a rebuild. And no, I think when you have a mainly veteran lineup, There's going to be changes for sure. Like, we know that, you know, for example, Dylan DeMello, Brendan Dillon, they're in the last year of their contracts. Yeah. Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli, they're pending UFAs.
Right.
Cole Perfetti needs a new contract. I mean, there's players.
The forward group, as is, you know, sorry for interrupting, but the forward group is largely going to be the same as next year, I believe. And sure, maybe you'll see somebody like, you know, maybe you'll see somebody like Colby Barlow or Brad Lambert push for a spot. Not Colby Barlow, sorry, but Brad Lambert, maybe he pushes for a spot. Or there's some people pushing up from the Moose pushing for a spot. But
well, there's some people that think Elias Salomonsen is going to be on the top pair for the Jets next year.
Well, I think that's probably too soon for a guy who's never played a game at the NHL level or the professional hockey level in North America. He did just win a championship in Sweden, and I think he's a very bright piece of the Jets' future on the back end.
But I think what I'm trying to say is, look how they have slow played their defensemen. What makes anybody think that Elias Salomonsen is just going to step right into the NHL?
He's not. It's not realistic.
I think he's going to be a really good NHL player, by the way.
Yeah.
Based on what I've read and what I've the highlights I've seen. All I'm saying is, yes, I think Brad Lambert has the tools and the speed, Drew. I agree with you on that one, that the majority of the Jets forwards will be back. Look, guys like Nino Niederreiter, Vlad Namestnikov, they're under contract.
Yeah.
I don't think both Monahan and Toffoli will be signed.
No, I don't think that. I think the Jets would be more interested in signing Monahan. I don't expect that they're going to do a big push to keep Toffoli around. But really, look, I mean, of the Jets forwards, of the 16 forwards that are up with the Jets right now, and that's the number that it is. I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now. 14 of those 16 are going to be back. The only one, you know, barring a trade, that could change things. But the only ones who are UFAs are Toffoli and Monahan. Perfetti and Gustafsson are both RFAs. We know they're not going anywhere. The big changes are going to be on the back end. And that's really where the big changes need to be, Dave. I mean, I think it's anything from this series is apparent. And again, we'll go deeper into this on Saturday and season long.
Well, thank you there, Drew. We got that was very nice of Arian Amanzi. Thanks for all the coverage this year, gents. Appreciate y'all. We lost our identity this series, but that's playoffs for you. Back and better next year. Thank you, Arian.
Appreciate that. It's very kind of you to provide us with some cash there. That Ezzy appreciates that. That's his beer money. So thank you very much for doing so. Not necessary, but appreciated nonetheless. But I mean, my big takeaway from this playoff series, from these five games, is the defense is not sufficient.
No.
And the coaching wasn't really sufficient. And I think Rick Bowness is a very good hockey coach. He might be a better, by and large, from what everybody says, he's a better man than he is a hockey coach. So, you know, I think he deserves all the credit in the world for that and for being as beloved as he is by his players. But at the same time, I'm not sure that running him back next year as the Jets head coach is the right decision for this group at this point. And again, that's not something we need to, hammer out in detail right now, but it's evident to me that he was outcoached and the Jets defense needs to be better if they want to be considered with the upper echelon of the NHL.
Yeah. And we got the comment up there from Brent Bellamy, of the Winnipeg Free Press, architect, big friend of the show. Like in a season in which the Jets were the best defensive team or the second best defensive team in the league, the fact that we're saying that is maybe surprising to some people. But look, I think you can make a strong argument that Neil Pionk is better suited for a third pairing role as opposed to a second pairing role. And I think you can make an argument that, you know, Nate Schmidt's contract is something that you look at moving or buying out, right?
I think you buy out Neil Pionk's contract more than Nate Schmidt's, to be honest.
Oh, okay,
they make basically the same amount of money, 5.95 to 5.875. I mean, they're both going to have 1 year left on their deal, so they're both pending UFAs after next season.
Yeah,
I mean, the problem with the Pionk contract is the Jets continue to play him in that second line, in that second pairing right side role that he's just not suited for. I mean, he's just not suited for that role anymore. This series was evidence to that effect. And to expect much different next year after a long offseason, you know, he is what he is as a player right now. He's overpaid. That's not his fault. That's Kevin Cheveldayoff's fault for giving him that contract. You know, there's just no easy answers when it comes to the back end, Dave, and the Jets defense.
Well, I mean, you have some things. Sorry, they're breaking down this place for AEW, which is tomorrow night. So we had Chris Jericho in the house. He may still be looking around to give Drew a little DDT action.
Can he put Drew in the walls of Jericho?
I'd like him to do something like that, Ezzy. But although there'll be a lot less of us now with the post-game show coming to a conclusion after 87 of them. But so they're breaking it down. They're taking the stairs out. So soon this place will be ready for wrestling. For wrestling. Won't be a hockey rink anymore. But yeah, I mean, it's look, we talked about it a little bit here in the press box this evening, Drew. I mean, you've got Ville Heinola, no longer waiver exempt. So are the Jets going to make give him that shot that he supposedly earned this year? But obviously with his ankle injury.
They have to, Dave.
Well, they don't have a choice because if they're not going to, then they have to trade him. That's kind of the
bottom
line.
That's what I'm saying, though, right? Like, I don't think it's even a question anymore.
No, well, I agree. And look, you just had a guy in Cal Capobianco. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Cal Capobianco is going to be the savior for this team. But he did just win, you know, top defenseman in the AHL. So, I mean, you've got a guy that you didn't really give a shot to at all in terms of the NHL. And he was fine for the Jets. He's not the best defensive defenseman. But that one thing he can do, and same thing with Ville Heinola. It's one thing that, you know, how many times do we talk about it? They can make a good breakout pass. And one of the things that we talk about in terms of this Jets team is, and look, I guess we're getting away from it. We're looking to next year. So we should probably get back to tonight's game and we can save this for a Saturday show. But, you know, one of the things we talk about is like being able to quickly get, like, what does Josh Morrissey can do? Get that puck up quickly, right? Make a good pass. Dylan DeMello is pretty good as well. And you obviously have Sandberg for his size and his strength.
DeMello really struggled in this series.
For sure he did. I'm not saying otherwise, but I'm saying like in terms of like that ability. But look, Heinola and Capobianco, at least one thing you could say about them is they can make a good pass. I mean, the one thing folks have to realize is you can't just snap your fingers and change this team like whole hog. You have to be aware of the fact that it doesn't just happen that way. It doesn't manifest because you say it's going to. Unlike when Chris Jericho said the Jets are going to score because the refs finally opened their eyes.
It's very powerful.
The Jets actually scored. He manifested it. But trades, unless he maybe tries it, are probably not going to try the same way.
Well, you know, and I see some people in the chat saying, oh, the Jets defense is going to be too small next year. It's going to be too small.
Yeah, I've seen that complaint.
Yeah, I've seen that complaint too. But guess what? The Jets defense was way bigger than Colorado's defense in this series. And which defense would you rather have had between the two of them? Now, of course, Colorado's got Cale Makar, so that is a bit of an asterisk next to that question. But it's certainly the Jets' bigger defense than Colorado certainly struggled in this series and certainly did the size of the Jets' defense was not an asset for them.
Well, when you take out 6'7" Logan Stanley and you take out 6'4" Brendan Dillon and you replace those two with Nate Schmidt and Colin Miller, obviously, the average size of your defense goes down dramatically.
Well, but which game did the Jets play better defense in? I mean, look, I mean,
no,
I think
agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, Drew. I'm saying that the bigger defensemen, Stanley and Dillon, the Jets
they
didn't
struggled.
Necessarily play better defensively with more size, right? I thought, guys, a big thing going back to, you know, tonight's game five, I thought the Jets were a lot more physical than they'd been in the previous four games. Mm-hmm. And you kind of ask yourself, like, why weren't they playing? Like, you saw, like, we talked about Cole Perfetti getting in on the forecheck, Mark Scheifele getting in on the forecheck, like Nino Niederreiter, Appleton, Lowry. I mean, the third line you expect to be physical in the type of forechecking they're going to do. David Gustafson, Dave's always talked about how he has an underrated kind of physical game, right? So I thought that was something that I liked in the first few periods. And then you got away from it in the third period when the Jets were chasing a one goal deficit and then a two goal deficit, right? But they just couldn't skate with the Avalanche. They just, when the Avalanche took it to the high gear, the Jets just didn't have really a response. And I think that was really illustrated on the second Rantanen goal. We talked about it where McKinnon blows by Nino Niederreiter on the 2-on-1 after Morrissey turns the puck over to McKinnon, right, Dave? So,
yeah.
I mean, look. I agree with you, Drew. Neil Pionk, I think he's just, you know, I think at the NHL level, I think he can be an above average third pair guy if he's playing 12 or 14 minutes. I don't think he can be that like 18 to 22 minute second pair guy anymore. I just don't think he is. And you could make an argument though, did the Jets have anybody that could play on the right side on the second pair that could shut down Nathan MacKinnon, Miko Rantanen, and Cale Makar? Like, the Avalanche, let's be honest here, guys. I mean, everything seemed to go right for the Avalanche in the series, and kind of everything seemed to go wrong for the Jets when it comes to the bounces and the penalties and everything like that. So full marks to the Avalanche, but you know, I think we just really never saw the best of the Jets in this. I think we saw close to the best for a couple periods tonight, but then we saw, you know, a regression in the third.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The Jets, I thought the first 40 minutes of tonight's game, and thank you, 7JP7B, you've been with us all season long with the post-game shows and the pre-game shows and the Saturday show. Appreciate the contribution of some funds to Ezzy's beer money. But the first 40 minutes of tonight's game, if the Jets had played like that through the first four games of the series, I think it's a different series. I don't know that they beat Colorado. Colorado and the skill and that they demonstrated, the Jets didn't have an answer for Nathan MacKinnon, Miko Rantanen, and Cale Makar, et cetera, Val Nichushkin. They didn't have answers for those guys. No question about that. But the first 40 minutes of today's game were way closer to what the Jets probably expected to demonstrate in this series, Dave. There was less, the word I was thinking about, and I didn't tweet it together, but I was going to, or I was thinking about it, was, it was way less hectic from the Jets' perspective through the first 40 minutes. They seemed to be just in control more of how they wanted to play the game rather than the first four games of the series, where it just seemed like they were always the duck that is paddling furiously while underneath the water.
Have you been spending time at the Assiniboine Park duck pond with that sort of analogy?
I got 6 months without post-game shows. I'm going to spend a lot of time at the duck pond now.
All right, fair enough. So, yeah, I
shouldn't feed ducks bread either. A lot of people do that. They can choke on it.
Very good point. Good point on the illegal curve. Don't.
And now that Passover's over, you can feed Ezzy the bread instead.
Yeah, exactly. Look, there are a number of areas that this Jets team needs to work on. It's crazy to think, though. I mean, it's funny. I feel like we're talking about a team. We're doing an assessment of a team that didn't even make the playoffs. And I understand that, you know, success in the regular season, you know, jokes aside about when Nashville raises banners to the, regular season champs or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like, it's amazing to me to think that we're talking about a team that finished with 52 wins, finished with the William Jennings Award for least goals allowed in the NHL at 199, the only team under 200 in the entire NHL. And the presumptive and most likely winner of the Vezina Award in Connor Hellebuyck. And we're talking now about how this team needs to adjust. Let's be realistic. Colorado was the worst. I was talking about it with some folks here in the press box again earlier during the intermission. This couldn't have been a worse matchup for the Winnipeg Jets, but ultimately you would have had to deal with them at some point, right? So, look, the NHL is a copycat league, right? You looked at Vegas last year. What did everybody see in Vegas last year? They had average goaltending, and they had like 1,700 goaltenders, but they had average goaltending, and they had big physical defensemen. The St. Louis Blues, big physical. What's going on here? Big physical. What are we?
Sorry.
All right. Drew, take that away from him. Anyways, the point I'm making
is it's been 87 post-game shows, and it's 20 after 12, Dave. I think Drew's fingers are just wandering a little bit.
Fair enough. But I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, it's a question as to whether the Jets will do that. Now, the Jets have some options if they want to go smaller, but agile and the ability to make passes. That's Philly. That's Kyle, who's, I think Kyle's a UFA after this year. So, or he maybe, is he an RFA? I think he's a UFA, actually.
Who's that, Dave? Sorry.
Kyle Capobianco. So I think he's a UFA.
He is a Group 6 UFA. That is correct.
Right. So they'll have to qualify him and whatever. But
he's a UFA regardless. They'd have to sign him.
They'd have to sign him to a deal. So you have options, you know. And again, like I said, I'm not someone who's going to say Salomonson, but I just wonder what this team will do because Drew, you've already outlined it. They've got 14 of the 16 forwards that are, or four, no, did you say 12 of the 14? Sorry,
are still going to be property of the Winnipeg Jets.
Right. So, yeah. Anyways, I mean, look, I understand that fans are upset, and I understand that you're searching for answers, and KWB comes up over the top. KWB.
That's look at Kenny there.
As for the Jets
in these playoffs, when it was all said and done, there was more than done.
No, you gotta chew it. Hold on 1 second. If you're not gonna read it properly, don't read it. I'll read it. As for the Jets in these playoffs, when it was all said and done, there was more said than done. I don't have much to add. You guys are saying it all. This is just a donation to help cover Ezzy's food court Visa bill and maybe a dose of Ozempic. Big thanks to KWB.
That's very generous, Kenny. Thank you very much.
Well, Kenny just gave us $50, so he automatically wins the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting comment. Congratulations, Kenny.
You bought yourself a hat.
Until somebody gives us $51. It's now an auction, folks. You have time between now and the end of the show. You keep giving us money. Whoever's the highest bidder gets the Tough Duck trucker hat at the end of the show.
I absolutely love it.
We're willing to sell ourselves that easily.
Yeah, I did drop a lot of money on the food court today. By the way, thanks for everyone who stopped by and said hello. And everybody that was watching in the food court today at City Place for the pregame show, lots of fun. And look, guys, I know, you know, Drew just mentioned it, you know, people are searching for answers here. Look, I mean, sometimes you have to just say that, you know, the Jets lost to a better team. The thing that's unfortunate about it is that we just didn't see the best of the Jets like we talked about earlier. That's what I think is the most disappointing. And, you know, Murat's question, I thought, to Rick Bonus was a good one, talking about the difference between last year's five-game loss to the Golden Knights versus this year's five-game loss to the Avalanche, right? And Rick Bonus said that, you know, he was proud of this team. And you kind of got the feeling that, you know, that sounds like a guy who's not coming back next year.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand saying that you're proud of this team because I thought that they fought harder in tonight's game. They didn't, you know, mail it in like they did in game five last year. And they showed a little bit of heart and they showed a little bit more of a structure and a little bit more of a give a damn factor. I get all that. You know, to me, at the end of the day, you've still lost in five games and you didn't look like yourself in any of those five games. So to me, that goes back to coaching. I mean, I do think that the coaching matchup in this series was one-sided. The on-ice matchup was one-sided too. There's no question about it. But I do think that the Jets didn't really have an answer for the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs didn't play their best game tonight. I thought the Jets played a very good game. I thought the Jets, I thought the Jets played as good of a game tonight as they probably have all series long. But even with Colorado without playing their A game, they still took it to the Winnipeg Jets. And to me, there needed to be an adjustment in the approach from the coaching staff. And not strictly just Rick Bonus, but all the coaching staff. And I think coaching was an issue for the Winnipeg Jets all season long, particularly on the special teams. I mean, we know how many games of the 87 post games that we did, how many of those games did the Jets lose where, you know, when we were doing our synopsis, we said, well, the special teams, you know, cost them. Special teams has a lot to do with coaching. Coaching plays a big role in special teams. So I do think there's a lot of areas for improvement for the Winnipeg Jets. And I would not be surprised if there was a change behind the bench and if there was a change in approach for next year. I think Rick Bonus deserves a lot of credit for getting the Jets to buy into the structure that they did and to become that defensive stalwart that they were in the regular season. But how does that translate to the playoffs moving forward?
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say a couple of things. First of all, thanks, Timmy D. I don't think it's our producer, Timmy D, but because I owe him a check for all the work he's been doing, but maybe that's him throwing us a check. But
maybe he's paying it forward though, Dave.
Could be. Well, we haven't paid him yet.
He's paying it backwards.
Yeah, exactly. But look, and big shout out to Andrew Haleko, who we met today. He came and joined us at City Place for our
kept trying to sell us Tetra Tech. It was really weird.
Yeah, it was
Centra Tech. Yeah. Tetra Tech, I think, is a Winnipeg company.
You know what? I think you're right.
Sorry, Centra Tech CEO Drew got Bitcoined.
I think what's going to happen though, from my perspective, is that, you know, Rick Bonus said it, and I don't think he's wrong. I think they need to do a long, hard look, and I don't think that just extends to the players. I think it extends to the coaching staff, and I think it extends to everyone. I think, you know, from an organizational perspective, and it was interesting because Darren Dreger was on with Gino Retta before the game, and it was just, you know, although I have to say, I it 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 irks me. I've changed their headlines 3,000 times when I post their content because their headlines are so freaking stupid. And everyone is like salacious. And it's like, what will happen when?
It's like,
but the crazy part is like, if you just put a normal headline, Jets fans will be interested in it. You don't need these stupid headlines. But anyways, so they, but it, the point from my rant aside is that, you know, he's just talking about the fact that they're, you know, and he, the one of the names he mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised. He mentioned Nikola Ehlers. He said that, you know, and again, you know, could I see the Jets trade? I know that everyone loves Nikola Ehlers. Could I see Nikola Ehlers being dealt for a defenseman at some point, a right side defenseman, to pair up with Josh Morrissey to finally give this team a little more of a shutdown? I could see that happening. But again, I feel like we're getting into the, to the next.
Ehlers is a pending UFA after next year. After it's certainly going to be the a topic of conversation until he's either not a member of the team or he signs another contract. I mean, that's what happens when guys are in their last years of their contract. And this year, I would say for Nikola Ehlers was not necessarily to his fault, but just the way he was used was perplexing all season long. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a very disappointing playoff run for him. You can't sugarcoat that, that he was not very good in these playoffs. You know, he did not really get an opportunity to stand out. He played a couple of periods, you know, with the top line and then didn't play, you know, the third period with the top line for reasons that I cannot adequately explain to you. And I don't think were adequately explained by the Jets head coach and his decision making tonight, because that certainly was left me perplexed like it did a whole lot of people. But I do think that Nikola Ehlers' future with this team is going to be a significant question mark moving forward, because what does he garner you? He probably garners you a top four defenseman. And what do the Jets need? I would argue they clearly need a top four defenseman. I mean, I can, you know, I see Dylan DeMello being more of a priority for re-signing than Brendan Dillon when it comes to the pending UFA defenseman. Just because of the way he fits with
this
Josh
is definitely
Morrissey.
A Saturday topic.
I know it's more of a Saturday topic. I know that. But these are the things and these are the topics and these are the questions that people are going to have this offseason.
Yeah, there's 600 people. There's 600 people in the chat right now for at 12:30 at night. So, or in the morning. So we appreciate each one. You tell us what you want us to talk about. We're here for you. We're here for your
Don't
benefit.
Forget about the 175 porn bots either.
Yes, on Twitter. But the one thing I will say, just to quickly throw this one out there, make sure you're subscribing. We do this. Well, we've done 90 broadcasts covering the Jets post and pregame.
Yeah.
87-3 in favor of the post. And we do a Saturday show. So make sure if you're new to us that you're hitting that subscribe button, because we want you to join IC Nation.
Yes, because we're going to do it again on Saturday morning, and then we're going to do it every Saturday morning from now all the way through the end of July, talking about the Jets and where this team goes from here. Because, you know, now there's a
Bensie
structure.
Had the best whiteout gear.
Yeah. Now there's a structure that if the Jets, you know, can keep that and maintain that, there's a building block. That structure that was put into place during the regular season is a building block for this team. You can't just throw the structure away and go back to what you were before, because, well, we know that that doesn't work. So I would presume, and of course, there's no way of knowing for certain, the players themselves will be the ones who answer this question. But the players, I think, understand and appreciate that what the structure has to be for you to be a consistent winner at this level, a consistent regular season winner at the very least. And now the question becomes, and Rick Bonus talked about it in his post-game media availability, how do you build upon that? How do you build upon that in the offseason? How do you build upon that next year? How do you build on that so that you're just a consistent team like the Boston Bruins? You know, a team that doesn't matter who's in their lineup, who they lose to retirement, everything along those lines. You know, almost there's a blueprint that doesn't change from season to season, by and large, if you're the Boston Bruins, at this point. And that's where the Jets have to figure out and move on from there. Oh,
dun, 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 dun.
Well, it looks like Dale's getting the hat instead of Kenny's water bottle.
Yeah. Whoa, $100. I appreciate that. I don't know. Who wants to read that comment?
Yeah, you can read it, Ezzy.
Dale Berezak. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I will be happy to send in this. Dale graciously sent us $100. So thanks, Dale, for that. That's going to buy me a lot of Timbits. If one coaching can be held more accountable, and if Pionk, not for a flute goal in parenthesis, I just think I just think he just isn't very good, and that it was a hell of a season, just not so for playoffs. Glad golf is starting-ish. I think he means because it hasn't really started across the province. I'm assuming Dale is in Manitoba, but we appreciate that from Dale. Yeah, look, I mean, you know, Drew, you mentioned structure there, I think 25 times in your little soliloquy, but the fact that, again, we're talking about changes and a coaching change, look, the Jets arguably had their best they did have their best defensive season under Rick Bonus. But let's be honest, it kind of fell apart a little bit in the second half of the season, guys. And I'm not just talking about that six-game losing streak. There was a good 2 months, 2.5 months where the Jets were a 500 team and kind of lost their way. But for the first 40 to 45 games, 50 games, it was certainly there. And they found it at the end of the season, right? Beating the Avalanche 7-0, beating the Stars 3-0. They beat the Canucks, the Kraken. Obviously, the Kraken is less impressive. I forget the other teams that they beat there. But, I mean, beating the Avalanche and the Stars by a combined 10-0 score. I mean, but again, the Jets have not got it done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think you have to revisit not just the group of defensemen, because I do agree with you, Drew. I think that, you know, that right side needs some work. And we know that the left side is stronger with Morrissey, Dillon, and Samberg. Obviously, you know, even if Dillon isn't re-signed, you got Ville Heinola who can play on the left side, right?
So, I think your left side next year, sorry, Ezzy, I think your left side next year is going to be Morrissey, Samberg, and Heinola.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that.
I mean, I think that's
all things being equal, and if Dillon isn't re-signed, right? And you have to make room for Hainel, as far as I'm concerned. Dave watched him way more than I did with the Manitoba Moose. I mean, not only is he not waiver exempt anymore, he just has nothing more to prove at the AHL level. It's time for Hainola to play in the NHL. But what I was gonna say is I think you still have to look at what you're doing with the forward group as well, right? Because there's guys like Brad Lambert and Nikita Chibrikov pushing for spots. And I don't know if you want to pay, you know, a 32-year-old Tyler Toffoli $5 million a year.
You do not.
I have time for Monahan being re-signed.
Well, there's not an obvious second-line center on this team.
Yeah, and I don't think Monahan should get a six-year contract. I mean, 2 years or 3 years I'd be a lot happier with or comfortable with. I mean, there's some work to do on this Jets team. I think Cole Perfetti is definitely capable of playing a top-six role on the wing. So that kind of – there's your answer for Toffoli. But, I mean, look, the Jets were overmatched. They were outclassed by the Avalanche. And, yes, the Avalanche could end up going to the Stanley Cup final or winning the Stanley Cup. And, okay, great. But, like, I don't think that's something you want to be proud of, that every year you get beat by – the team that wins the Stanley Cup. You want to be the team that wins the Stanley Cup, right? So it's another disappointing year, but you're absolutely right, Drew. There could be a coaching change and there could be several big moves coming both at forward and on defense and in goal, because Brossoit might end up leaving via free agency in the summer.
Yeah, I think that's probably, I mean, I don't see why he's staying. I think there's money available to him in other markets, and that'll certainly be an area that the Jets are looking to. They won't be able to upgrade on Laurent Brossoit, but it's probably going to be an area where they're going to need to sign somebody. But I would say this, Dave, and again, we'll get into all the nitty-gritty details all throughout the Saturday shows from now through the end of July. So, you know, we're going to rehash these topics over and over again, folks. Don't worry about that. But from my perspective, as I'm sitting here, now that it's May the 1st, the calendar has rolled over to May the 1st, I would say that my optimism level for the Winnipeg Jets is a lot higher today than it was last year at this time after they lost to the Golden Knights in 5 games. I think that the future is much brighter today for the Winnipeg Jets than it was last offseason with all the uncertainty and everything else. You look at the forward group for this Jets team, I think there's some enviable pieces that are coming up in the ranks, and even other ones that are still, you know, making their way through college or junior or wherever it might be. So I do think that the future is brighter for the Winnipeg Jets this year on this date than it was last May the 1st.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's super out there, Drew. I mean, we heard the end of season things, and look, I think you're right. I think there are some definite pieces. Are they ready to take that jump? I mean, that's the organizational quandary that most teams are in at some point, right? You know, and the Jets, if all will recall, remember back in the day, had a stacked a defense, but they had really young forwards. And then you have a stacked forward group and you don't have a great defense. I mean, that's kind of from an organizational perspective is why you're always
the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what you're hoping for. But I mean, look, this is, you know, folks have reminded us this has been the same core group for the most part now for a long time, right? 17, 18. I'm not saying everybody's still from there, but you got a lot of guys who were part of that run. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. And it's a hard thing to consider because you're going against the numbers and the numbers. And we always talk about big sample size, small sample size, playoffs don't, the regular season doesn't matter. The regular season is still 82 games. So it gives us a pretty good picture of what your team is, right? And this team was a really good defensive team. Now, we thought the Central was tough, right? A lot of the teams, Nashville was doing real well. Dallas, Colorado, obviously Winnipeg. So it wasn't like you only played pushovers and you somehow artificially built your rankings up. But I think it's just an interesting area for the Winnipeg Jets to be in right now. And I know the Jets fans are angry and they want to see some changes. And whoa, I don't know what's going on right now with the chat, but El Chavarino,
people are feeling generous.
Buy Colby some beers, please. And thanks to the boys for the banter. We will. Yes. And I, you know, thank you, El Chavarino, because I meant to do this when we finished with Rick Bonus's media availability, but a big, huge thank you to Colby Spence, Alex James, but Alex doesn't shoot quite as many, obviously, as Colby. Colby has been, just the best addition to Illegal Curve.
We will use this money to take Colby out, by the way, because and producer Tim and Alex Dave, because like you said, they've done a lot of good work all year long. So, and the patios are opening up, right? So we'll take
him. True. I took them for dinner.
And we have 5 months without a post game show. So we got lots of time on our hands.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I took those guys for dinner as a reward last year. Didn't invite you two guys.
Where's the invite?
We're going to get our drink on.
But I will say that, you know, big thanks to Colby because his photography, like, just to be clear, his photography alone is phenomenal. And he's one of the best in Winnipeg, I think, bar none. So we're lucky to have him in that regard. But he doesn't just do the photography. He's game planned to innovate. And so, you know, we have photos seconds after, you know, he takes them. We're faster than anybody else. It's unbelievable.
He takes pictures in the future. He takes pictures of things that haven't happened yet. It's really interesting.
So I will say that that's phenomenal. And not only that, but one of the ideas that I conceptualized with Colby and Alex actually at that very dinner that you two weren't invited to was the idea of doing live pressers with the coach. And it took Colby and Alex some time and they got it worked out. And like I said, Colby really took the bull by the horns and he got that working for us in around the 40th or 50th game of the season. But I mean, it just added another element that we'd love to bring you here on the Illegal Curve postgame show was the live media availabilities with the coach. So again, like I said, he's added such a significant part of what we do here, whether it's on this show or our social media and the website, of course, illegalcurve.com. Wouldn't be able to do it without Colby. So kudos to Colby on a great season for us here at Illegal Curve.
Yeah.
By the way, I think it's like his ninth season with us.
Wow. Is it really? That many? That's incredible.
I honestly think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yes. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, folks, at Illegal Curve, and you're not fully aware of just how great some of the photography that we are producing. And I say we, when I really mean Colby and Alex, and we're just putting it up on the Instagram account, go check it out.
Me and Ezzy, but okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's a royal we, I think, at this point in time. But go check it out, folks, because it is just absolutely fantastic work and sort of takes you, inside the game a little bit. Some things you don't necessarily appreciate. If you only see a video, you get to see the emotion snapped after a player scores and the smiles and the exuberance and things of that nature. So it really, you know, a picture does tell a thousand words, as they like to say. And you can really see that on our Instagram account. This is the Illegal Curve post game show talking about the Jets end of season. They lost tonight to the Colorado Avalanche 6-3. Many of you, over 550 of you, still with us. It's as the clock is getting closer and closer to 1 a.m. Looks like nobody really wants the season to end. I totally understand that.
The Predators have officially defeated the Canucks, by the way.
Yeah, that happened.
They came back.
Started. Yeah, they came back and won 2-1. You know, the post-game shows will come to an end after tonight's, but the Saturday show, that continues unabated all throughout the offseason. So be sure to join us 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings as we do deep dives into the Winnipeg Jets and where this team goes from here and who stays and who goes and what the coaching staff looks like and all the big questions that are you know, relevant for this Winnipeg Jets team. I don't think that it's quite the same level of chaos, as I mentioned, as last year's post game was when Rick Bowness really, napalmed the team to some extent for their performance in Vegas. He said earlier when we brought you the post game comments that he was proud of the team for their effort tonight. And that effort was admirable through the first 40 minutes, and then it all fell apart in the third period. And that is all going to be part of the postmortem. The questions as to why did it collapse? Why weren't the Jets able to, build upon their successes in tonight's game? And instead, it was always one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, two steps back. And then where does this team go from here? Where does this team build on from here? A successful regular season, no question about that. But what's next for this team? And how do they take that regular season success and translate it to postseason success, Eze?
Yeah, the offseason is next for the Jets, Drew. That's what comes. Once you're knocked out of the playoffs, it's the offseason. Yeah.
Good to know. Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll go to break. When we come back, we'll touch on more on the Jets and the Avs. We'll do our final Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. So far, it's going to who's the guy? It's going to Dale. He gave us $100. So you got about a 3.5 minute commercial break to give us more than $100. And that way you would win the Tough Duck trucker hat as well. We'll do the Seagram shot of the game when we come back. Stay with us. It's the final post game show of the year. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on what is now a Wednesday morning. The Illegal Curve post game show rolls on.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking. And to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni.
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
It's all over, folks, and the run has come to an end.
You've been so far away. a Canadian team hasn't won the Cup in over 30 years.
And the Cup will stay south of the border.
Maybe it's time we try something different. This playoff season, let's cheer with the fans we've always cheered against. Team up for the Cup at Boston Pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, Wednesday morning, this is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you, doing a end-of-season wrap. Not the full post-mortem. That, of course, will come on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show and then subsequent Saturdays after that. But the Jets season does come to an end tonight, or last night, as the case may be. The Avs defeating the Jets by a 6-3 margin, Colorado winning the best-of-seven series by a margin of 4-1. The Jets not able to muster much after the ridiculous game one that was about 10 days ago. And they will go out relatively meekly to a Colorado Avalanche team that certainly looked like a juggernaut. And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that going in their second round series, be that against the Golden Knights or the Dallas Stars. But I certainly would not envy any team that has to try and defeat the Avs right now, given how good they were playing and how good their offense looked. Maybe not so much their goaltending, as Georgiev, again, shaky, but effective enough. When you score more than 5 goals a game, it doesn't really matter how shaky your goaltending is. I think that's a lesson there.
And they did it without Jonathan Drouin.
Who,
remember, was only ruled out for the first round. I do want to share some good news for Jets fans. Because the Jets didn't win the Stanley Cup, they retained their 2027 third rounder that was part of the Sean Monahan trade. So
2027
third rounder. So there's a little silver lining for the Jets fans. The Jets did not lose that critical third.
So
the
5 years from now, we'll see if that turns into anything.
Well, no, in or 7 years, Ezzy, when we're doing analysis on the Illegal Curve post game, the intermission show that we've added as well, we'll be talking about that third rounder.
Unfortunately, it won't be me and Ezzy, though. You might still be here. It'll be Ezzy and
no
I.
Question.
Yeah, it'll be our kids.
You guys will be in the home already at that point.
Yeah, it'll be our kids who fill in for us. Speaking of kids, you guys see Rod Black's son got a base hit today for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah,
Rod was being interviewed. That was fantastic. I thought Rod Black, of course, a member of the Winnipeg media for so many years, and then he went, of course, and became a fixture on TSN and doing so many CFL games. And his son got his first Major League Baseball hit for the Milwaukee Brewers earlier tonight. So that was terrific. I just wanted to make mention of that. That was.
If we're talking about fathers and sons, by the way, Nikolai Kovalenko is Andre Kovalenko's son.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily know that. That made me feel really old.
And Kovalenko, they both were the same number as he.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. He was a good player for the Oilers and other teams. Andre Kovalenko is dead.
Yes.
Yeah. I know the Oilers. Yeah.
Yeah. He played for the Avs too. Yeah. He won a cup with the Avs, didn't he? Yeah. Didn't he win the cup
in that 96 team, I think.
2001, wasn't it? Maybe 96. Mm.
I thought
could have been 96.
Yeah. Anyways, not really.
I do have to say though, this is part of the show that I love, and this is the reason why I love doing over 90 of these. And Drew, I would imagine about 30 to 40 Saturday shows to this point. But I do love the fact that sometimes I'm talking to you guys and focused on you guys, or I'm tweeting something, and then I look over at the chat and I have no idea what they're talking about. For whatever reason, now they're focused on the name of the Utah, not an expansion team, but the
relocated team.
Yeah. But anyways, I just think it's very funny to look over and it's like Utah, Utah, Utah. I'm like, what did I miss? What precipitated this conversation?
There you go.
It needs to be the Utah Yetis. So there, it can be the Yetis versus the Kraken.
And the Avalanche. I'm not going to say it's getting late here, but there's lights are now being turned out.
I can see that. So maybe we'll wrap this up.
This is like I see after dark as I'm in the Yamahama mode right now.
I think we'll get close to wrapping this up. Maybe before the clock strikes 1 a.m. here, we'll do the Seagram shot of the game. We need to do that before we wrap up the post game show.
the Seager shot of the game.
As much as I want to give it to Josh Manson for his slap shot off of our
Dale
Jerry
just Lehkonen. Gave us another $100.
Somebody gave us another $100.
Dale, same Dale. Dale's really trying to win that trucker hat, as he.
I think Dale. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Well, I'll make Dale a hat at this point in time. But
we have a sugar daddy, boys.
You've had a sugar mama. That's the only thing keeping you afloat financially.
Look, big thanks to Dale though, and everybody who obviously joins us. We don't need the money. We don't need the donations. We appreciate.
Dave, speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself, Manuk.
Yes, speak for yourself. Money bags, Manuk.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we don't do that. We don't ask for it. We appreciate it when people do that though.
Dave, you still need money for gas for your Escalade.
Yeah,
we'll give the Seagram shot of the game to Josh Morrissey, his power play goal.
What? Not to Toffoli?
No, not to Toffoli. We'll give it to Morrissey.
Nice goal by Toffoli. Nice shot.
Deco Napoli gave us $5, and all it says is Dale's juice. Well,
that's hilarious.
That is very funny.
Now I like the name of the team, the Utah Dale.
Utah Dales.
Oh, you guys are making us laugh as the clock gets closer to 1 a.m. We'll give it to Morrissey. I thought he was probably the Jets' best player by and large in the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
Game in and game out. You know, you never said, where's Josh Morrissey at any point in time in this series? You never said, where's Josh Morrissey very often at any point in time in this season?
Nobody is asking, Drew, sorry to cut you off. Nobody's saying, you know, Morrissey could have given us more.
No,
like he was maybe Connor. I thought Kyle Connor was excellent. We talked about him and good defensively too. And it's crazy to say that considering the Avalanche averaged 5 goals a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree. Josh Morrissey for me was the best all around Jet, and then number two for me was Kyle Connor.
Yeah,
I just want to reiterate that because at one point I was watching the game here and I thought to myself, Josh Morrissey is phenomenal. He really is. Like what he's doing, you know, to try and will his team into this series and to keep the series going. And you could see it on his face, you know, you weren't part of the post game media availabilities, but I saw some video and I was just like, you can see him wearing it, you know, and look, maybe it's a good thing that it does sting, as they said. So we'll see how this team does, but you can see that, you know, I mean, look, these guys know they're in their prime, but you know, the years, Blake Wheeler said it right. They quickly go by and suddenly, you know, you realize, hey, look, I've already been in the league for 10, 11, 12 years. So you don't want to be at that point. And like what they're trying to do for Zach Parise, right? As he win him a cup, you don't want to be in that situation. So,
right.
You know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I thought Morrissey was excellent in this series. I mean, look, he made some mistakes, obviously, when you play that much and you play against Makar and Rantanen and MacKinnon, you're going to make some mistakes. But overall, I just thought he was very good.
He certainly was. No argument at all. So we'll give him the Seagram shot of the game. Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. They did it all season long. We did a Seagram shot of the game on every one of the post-game shows. So whether you're drinking Seagram's 83 or Seagram's VO or you're drinking Fireball, think of the good folks at Seagram's. Support them because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. We appreciate them for doing so. We'll do the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment of the game up next. One final time for that on this 23-24 Winnipeg Jets season.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Ezzy, which of Dale's $100 donations is deserving of the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment?
No, we're giving it to KWB. Money can't just buy the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Well, I guess in this case, money did buy the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. I mean, I'll read it here again for those who weren't listening earlier or watching earlier and for those listening on the podcast. But anybody who gives me money for food and Ozempic is going to get the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. As for the Jets in these playoffs, when it was all said and done, there was more said than done. I don't have much to add. You guys are saying it all. This is just a donation to help cover Ezzy's food court visa bill and maybe a dose of Ozempic. But honestly, you know, Kenny's water bottle always has fantastic comments. We have a lot of people in the chat who, you know, have been with us for all, what did we say, 87 post games this year and the Saturday show. So I think, you know, it's safe to say Kenny's water bottle is kind of, maybe the unofficial mayor of the chat. I think that's what I would call him. There's a lot of good folks in the chat. Well, I mean,
Spence is more of a referee.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
You guys want to say mascot.
Well, no, Ezzy's the mascot.
Yeah, I'm the mascot. Even though we saw Pikachu earlier today at City Place during the pregame show, but
I do have one quibble with Kenny's water bottle's comment. It's the idea that any credit card company actually gave you a credit card.
I was thinking
they're
the
not
same
letting,
thing.
They're not giving Ezzy any credit.
No, I don't have a Visa bill. I have a Discovery card.
Yeah. You're more likely to have an HBC rewards card, and you hold on to that for dear life. I think that's more
it's weird, Drew. I tried to
else.
Pay like when I bought Tim Hortons today. I tried to pay with a Jumbo Video membership, and they were. I was like, I used to get free popcorn with this all the time. So, anyways, Kenny's water bottle. Send me an email, Ezra at Illegal Curve, with your mailing address, and Tough Duck will ship out a trucker hat to you, and I will show up at your house and have a couple beers with you, maybe as well. But yeah, thanks to everyone, you know, on a kind of half serious note, thanks everybody for sticking with us all season long, even though, you know, this series against the Avalanche didn't end how everybody wanted it to. We still had tons of fun, and, you know, we look forward to doing it again next year.
Yes, we absolutely do. Dave Minuk, final thought from you on as the Jets 23-24 season comes to an end.
Well, I'm just going to reiterate what Ezzy said because he said it, but I still want to convey it on my own behalf because I love doing these shows with you guys. I love doing the show with everyone in the chat. The chat it's elevated us from when we were a radio show and we didn't get that sort of stimulation from being able to engage with folks in this sort of capacity. And it really has elevated our show and my enjoyment.
And now we're sex symbols.
Well, something like that. We're something, all right, but I wouldn't go that far, as. But I just want to thank everyone because it makes it so much fun. We do have a blast interacting with everyone, and it's so nice of everyone who comes by and says hello to us at City Place, or when you guys and girls come and join us at Boston Pizza, or any of the places that we've done live shows. So, I mean, we can't thank you enough because your support has meant everything. And so, I appreciate that. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. I will ask that. And leave a comment on the podcast, preferably a nice one. But if you have some criticisms, you can always email me those separately about Ezzy and Drew, of course. And the one thing I will remind everyone, still got plenty of content coming your way. So that's why you want to subscribe. Because unlike, we're pretty much the only place that gives you all the Jets interviews, all the Moose interviews. Well, I can tell you we're the only place that gives you all the Moose interviews. Yeah. And we're going to have more. I've done I've only posted three of the interviews. We did that yesterday with Colby Barlow.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that, but I think it's appropriate on the 87th one of these. And yeah, look, I we did some really good, we had some really good chats yesterday, as you mentioned on the pregame show, but we talked to Colby Barlow, Danny Jilkin, Chaz Lucius, the Jets draft picks. Today we talked to a whole host of guys as well. Guys like Henry Nikkanen, Jeff Malott, Daniel Torgerson, Tyrell Bauer. So we talked to those guys. And then tomorrow we finish things off. We talked to head coach Mark Morrison and, of course, the rest of the group. The guys who probably were all the black aces, Nikita Chibrikov, Brad Lambert, Ville Heinola, Parker Ford, Kyle Capobianco.
Are you just
Dominic
naming
Condado.
The entire roster now? Is that
no,
what
I'm talking
doing?
About? I'm getting folks, Drew, it's called Wetting the Whistle. I'm getting people excited to make sure they want to follow our YouTube channel.
Priming the pump, Dave. The pump.
So the point I'm making is that we'll have a lot of interviews coming your way. I've only posted three, but I've got more on the phone, and we'll have some more ready to go as of tomorrow. And, of course, end of season for the Jets. Won't be tomorrow, but it may either be Thursday or Friday. We'll cover that in its entirety as well. So, and thankfully Colby has offered his services. So we'll have some, as opposed to my shaky camera work, although I did get a compliment. Someone complimented me. Oh, Nicholas Jones complimented me yesterday on the IC camera, the IC screen cover for my phone. But anyways, we'll have those. Keep it locked. Legal Curve, YouTube.
There you go. Dave M. will have complete coverage of that. And anyone else who wants to pay compliments to Dave's cell phone case, you can go ahead and do that as well. I'll reiterate what Dave and Ezzy said. We do this so often. We do it because we love doing it, but you guys make it, and you guys and gals make it so that much more enjoyable. Dave and Ezzy, of course, the three of us are a triumvirate and we're close friends, but the fact that all of you are joining us night in, night out, game in, game out, it really does make it all the more worthwhile. So thank you for all your contributions all season long, but we're not going anywhere. Of course, the Saturday show will roll on. And so be sure to join us 9 a.m. Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We will dive deep into the Jets off season and the litany of questions that are facing this team. Want to say a big thank you. Frosty Winnipeg puts it up on the screen each and every post-game show. And we want to say a huge thank you to all the sponsors, supporters, fans, aficionados, those who put their money behind us so that we can do what we do. That's our friends at City Place, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Some of these sponsors will be back next year, undoubtedly. Some will move on, and that's okay too, because some of them have been with us for so long. So there's always a new opportunity. If you know of a business, or you have a business, or you want to suggest a business that should become a sponsor of Illegal Curve, by all means, let us know, and we'll be glad to get them in touch with all
of them. Well, Dale Barazuk is now officially a sponsor after dropping a couple hundo on us.
By the way, I will say I did love the fact that everyone was like, Dale, I'm also a member of IC. I'm also a member of IC.
The crowd, the chat keeping us entertained. You folks have been great all season long. We'll be back Saturday morning for another edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us feedback. And tell your friends, tell your family the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings is the Illegal
Curve. Great comment. Gorgiev sucks.
Thanks, everybody. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck. Thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.